Well, I have an announcement to make. After 72 years, I'm finally giving up the fight. I have tried everything. I have put my foot down. I have refused to say the word. I've even tried 1 year not to carve a pumpkin. I suggested that my children dress up as a monk and a nun. But nothing has worked. As hard as I have tried, if I would have asked you a week ago what you were going to do for Reformation, most of you would have said, huh? But if I would have asked you what October 31st is, you would have answered immediately Halloween, which is not even its proper name, by the way. The proper name is All Hallows Eve. But then what's that going to get me? So that's it. I give up. I'm done. Well, Richard, I can't do it. Somehow I have to get into shape. I mean, tomorrow is Reformation Day, and today we mark the 499th anniversary of the day, October 31st, 1517. The day that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, monk, priest, college professor, posted an invitation to a scholarly debate on the door of a castle church in northeastern Germany. Doesn't sound like a very big deal. And it's doubtful if Luther himself even imagined it would be a big deal. But the debate that Luther hoped to schedule was on the subject of the selling of indulgences, a practice that boiled down to some people saying that you could buy your way into heaven for cold, hard cash, and other people going into hock to come up with the money. And so Luther's 16th century post-it note became such a big deal because it was the church itself that had been behind this very ludicrous and harmful scheme. Now, the minutely detailed piece of scholastic babble, forever known as the 95 Theses, the 95 points of argument, raised huge and important questions about the authority of the Pope, the role of the Church, how we are saved, what Jesus does for us, what it means to be a Christian. In short, everything about it mattered. Now, we know the debate never happened because some clever, unnamed printer with a nose for what was good and would sell to the public, took the notice down, translated it from academic Latin into Greek, into German, and printed off copies as fast as he could. And it was like a bomb went off. Within 2 weeks, the sale of indulgences in Germany, once a steady stream of income, fell to a trickle. But it's the questions raised by the 95 Theses about the power of the church, about the mercy of God, about how we are made right with God that we celebrate on Reformation Day. You know, you get something like Reformation Day, the 4th of July, a birthday, or anything that marks an anniversary, and it always begs the question, is this about something that happened a long time ago, or is it about now? Does the 4th of July just simply remember the founding of our country, or does it celebrate the existence of the country? Does a birthday only mark the day of a person's birth, Or is it really a way of celebrating that person's life? If Reformation Day is just about what happened a long time ago, then for crying out loud, what's the big deal? I mean, just put the date in the encyclopedia or on your calendars or, you know, go Google it when you get home and be done with it. If it's just about what's happening now, then why are we counting off all the years, remembering Luther, singing hymns written by Luther? This day, like any anniversary, is therefore, of course, about both then and now. Today we remember what Martin Luther did centuries ago, how he questioned the practices and teachings of the medieval church and refuted the claim to the authority made by the Pope and the hierarchy of Christendom. Recalling how Luther and his followers got kicked out of the church for their insistence that we should be saved by grace through faith, trusting the authority of Scripture alone helps us to remember who we are and what our purpose is. But the Reformation is not a once and for all deal. What God did through Luther and his followers was not an end all, but instead it was rather a dramatic and painful step in an ongoing process of reformation. Reformation simply means reforming, putting back into shape again. Throughout the Old Testament, God is constantly whipping Israel back into shape, using the prophets and foreign armies and whatever else it takes. In the New Testament, our risen Lord Jesus promises that he will always be with us until the very end, and that the Holy Spirit will guide us to keep us from being bent out of shape and twisted and perverted. You see, the Church of Christ has people in it. And they're sinful people, because that's the only kind there is. And so for God to choose to make his church out of sinful people who wear their holiness is like maybe choosing to make the Statue of Liberty out of mashed potatoes. You could never let go. You'd have to hold it together every second. And you'd be forever having to work like a maniac, constantly putting it back into shape. It would need reformation constantly. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." This is the truth of the gospel, that our salvation is free. We can't buy it with money or perfect church attendance or good deeds or good intentions or anything else. The death and resurrection of Jesus is our only hope. We can rely on Jesus Christ alone. Even if we want to rely on ourselves or on our own efforts or on our own will or on our own good character, it will not work. And so Reformation Day is not a celebration of the joys of being Lutheran. It's not an excuse for patting ourselves on the back and saying, "Well, look how right we are. Too bad everybody else is wrong." Or, "Thank God I'm Lutheran, because I've got God all figured out." Self-congratulations might make us feel good, but they're arrogant and they're sinful. For one thing, it limits the Holy Spirit, assuming that we have cornered the market on God and that God speaks only to the likes of us. For another thing, it assumes that Lutheranism has all the right answers, when in fact, probably the greatest strength of the Lutheran approach to Christianity is that it knows when to say, I do not know. It knows it needs God's help. No, Reformation Day is not a time for Lutherans to gloat over their accomplishments and insights. Instead, Reformation Day is a joyful reminder that God holds us together every second, that God constantly reforms and reshapes us, and that God never lets go. And so Reformation Day is a day to remember that we are God's people. But if left to our own devices, we will drift away from the truth. It's a day to rejoice in the fact that we are not left to our own devices, that God reforms His people, that God constantly calls us back to the truth. You know, in the Old Testament, the Israelites had been given the sign of God's covenant with them in the form of stone tablets, and those had broken. So then the Israelites, like all of us, were forever falling into the temptation of worshiping local idols. It's the famous incident of the golden calf, where they got tired of waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain, and so they melted all their jewelry into a golden calf and decided to worship it instead of God. They lost their focus, and they got caught up in the temptation of a material world. And then when the Israelites thought that they had the problem all sorted out, it was because they had finally built a temple in Jerusalem. They put the Ark of the Covenant there, and they thought that they had solved the problem by providing a physical place to worship God. But Jerusalem was invaded, and the temple was destroyed, and the people were dispersed. And then Jeremiah comes along to teach them a lesson. He reminded them that God said, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The Israelites learned that their identity as beloved children of God was not attached to any material entity. It was not about how much money they had or how nice a temple they had built for God. Their connection to God was written not on any stone, something that could be destroyed by breaking or by invading armies. It was written on their hearts. They may not have had their temple or their tablets anymore, but that didn't mean that they could not come to worship and to praise God. Because you see, God was within them wherever they were. The community of Israelites learned to worship God in their homes or in public places. And they defined a worshiping community not where they were, but simply by whether or not two people were gathered. This is a reminder I need often, especially in my own personal life. I can too easily get focused on the material world. I am swayed by advertisers to think that my life will be vastly improved if I just buy this gadget or this new toy. And if I act now, I can get a second one for free. But the substance of life is not in the things that I have. The substance of life is in the relationships that I build. The substance of life is a community gathered around in prayer and participation in God's mission. That's where the beauty and the meaning are. See, the Holy Spirit came to Martin Luther in northeastern Germany to bring the gospel light to the darkness of that age. And the darkness of 1517 was the lie that you could buy your way into heaven, that you had to earn God's grace and favor. And so through Martin Luther and countless others, God called the church back to the truth. And so the Holy Spirit comes to us now sending us out into the world to bring the light of the gospel to bear witness on the darknesses of this age. Our age, like any age, has many darknesses, but chief among them is this. I think we are an age that does not expect resurrection. We're an age fixated with and terrified of death. I mean, just look at the fall TV shows that focus on that subject. And what is a large part of what people do tomorrow? We live in an age where we're afraid of growing older, afraid of reaching the end of life, because we are in an age that thinks that death is the end of us. We live in an age where the stockpiles of treasures on earth are made, a greedy age, an age that does not look for greater treasures in the world to come. We live in an age without hope. We are in an age that is afraid. We are in an age that desperately needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Our age is a world that needs to be reformed. And so Reformation Day just isn't an anniversary or just a remembrance of what God's done in the past. It is a reminder that God is working among us today, now, in the present, that God is calling us to look forward to the future with hope and joy and excitement, that God is reforming us now, beckoning us back to the truth, back to hope and life and a forgiveness that we can never earn. And God is sending us out into the world to speak that life, to speak that hope. And through Jesus Christ, God forgives and reforms you and calls you to be His body, the church. Through the Holy Spirit, God reforms and holds the church. And through the church, God announces the good news that reforms the world. And so I'll try one more time. Tomorrow is Reformation Day. Amen. Let's stand as we confess.